You are going to listen to an interview about the effect of meat consumption on the environment. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D, for questions 1 to 5. Put a cross in the correct box. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
And now, to tell us her views on meat consumption, is the nutritionist and writer, Beth Willis. Beth, I take it you're a die-hard vegetarian.
Good morning, John. Well, I'm not a strict vegetarian, no. I do eat fish and I also eat animal products like eggs and cheese, although I'm trying to cut down on those too.
That's necessary, is it? Since when has eating meat done us any harm?
Well, John, it's not just a question of individual health. Let me give you some figures. In 2021, the average consumption of meat and animal products in OECD countries was 72 kilos a person for the year. Maybe that doesn't sound so much, but listen to this. The figure for Nigeria was 4.6 kilos, while average consumption in the United States was over 100 kilos a year. 100 kilos. That's over 2 kilos a week of animal products, and 20 times as much as places like Nigeria.
We all know that there are inequalities in the world.
Of course, but there are other issues at stake here too, and they're to do with the way that animals are raised.
So you're of the belief that farming is cruel and inhumane?
Well, leaving that aside for the moment, I'm talking about wider environmental issues. Take water. Now, water is in short supply in many parts of the world, but rearing livestock can use up to 200 times more water than growing, say, wheat kilo per kilo. Then, of course, there's the question of where these animals are raised. I think most people are aware of the immense damage to the atmosphere that's caused by the destruction of the rainforests, and yet every year, thousands more square kilometers of the Amazon rainforest, areas equal to whole European countries, are cut down, mainly to provide land for cattle or other livestock rearing, or for the production of soy as animal feed, much of which is exported to European markets. And that's without mentioning the immense amount of greenhouse gases actually produced by the animals themselves. So there's kind of a double contribution, if you like, to global warming.
So what solutions have you got for us?
Governments aren't doing enough. But practically all countries agree that there needs to be global action on climate change, and that will have to include issues such as livestock production. But I think we need to think about making our own individual contribution too.
In other words, we should all stop eating meat.
That's my view. Obviously, that's not going to happen, though, or not overnight. But there have been some interesting moves in the last couple of years. The National Health Service in Britain, for example, is aiming to reduce its use of meat and other animal products.
What, in hospitals?
Yes, that's right. But also in other care facilities and the food it provides for its staff. Then, in Germany, the Federal Environmental Agency asked people to try to reduce their consumption of meat.
And have they?
To be honest, I don't know, but I think it's interesting to see the idea aired at a national level, coming into the mainstream.
This is all a bit theoretical, isn't it?
Perhaps, yes. Which is why I like some of the more practical suggestions that have been made in the last couple of years. One is the planetary health diet devised by Eat Forum and The Lancet. Here, you begin by covering half of your plate with vegetables and fruits, and then you add proteins such as grains and beans, and perhaps some starchy vegetables or dairy products to the other half. You can add a bit of meat, but not much over the course of a week. By following this diet, we can not only make ourselves healthier, but also do our bit for the planet too, because by cutting down on meat consumption, we can help reduce atmospheric CO2. What is also nice is that the basic diet can be adapted to different cuisines around the world.
Beth Willis, thank you very much. Food for thought for us all there. The time's coming up to 9:06. And now, to tell us her views on meat consumption, is the nutritionist and writer, Beth Willis. Beth, I take it you're a diehard vegetarian.
Good morning, John. Well, I'm not a strict vegetarian, no. I do eat fish and I also eat animal products like eggs and cheese, although I'm trying to cut down on those too.
That's necessary, is it? Since when has eating meat done us any harm?
Well, John, it's not just a question of individual health. Let me give you some figures. In 2021, the average consumption of meat and animal products in OECD countries was 72 kilos a person for the year. Maybe that doesn't sound so much, but listen to this. The figure for Nigeria was 4.6 kilos, while average consumption in the United States was over 100 kilos a year. 100 kilos. That's over 2 kilos a week of animal products, and 20 times as much as places like Nigeria.
We all know that there are inequalities in the world.
Of course, but there are other issues at stake here too, and they're to do with the way that animals are raised.
So you're of the belief that farming is cruel and inhumane?
Well, leaving that aside for the moment, I'm talking about wider environmental issues. Take water. Now, water is in short supply in many parts of the world, but rearing livestock can use up to 200 times more water than growing, say, wheat kilo per kilo. Then, of course, there's the question of where these animals are raised. I think most people are aware of the immense damage to the atmosphere that's caused by the destruction of the rainforests, and yet every year, thousands more square kilometers of the Amazon rainforest, areas equal to whole European countries, are cut down, mainly to provide land for cattle or other livestock rearing, or for the production of soy as animal feed, much of which is exported to European markets. And that's without mentioning the immense amount of greenhouse gases actually produced by the animals themselves. So there's kind of a double contribution, if you like, to global warming.
So what solutions have you got for us?
Governments aren't doing enough. But practically all countries agree that there needs to be global action on climate change, and that will have to include issues such as livestock production. But I think we need to think about making our own individual contribution too.
In other words, we should all stop eating meat.
That's my view. Obviously, that's not going to happen, though, or not overnight. But there have been some interesting moves in the last couple of years. The National Health Service in Britain, for example, is aiming to reduce its use of meat and other animal products.
What, in hospitals?
Yes, that's right. But also in other care facilities and the food it provides for its staff. Then, in Germany, the Federal Environmental Agency asked people to try to reduce their consumption of meat.
And have they?
To be honest, I don't know, but I think it's interesting to see the idea aired at a national level, coming into the mainstream.
This is all a bit theoretical, isn't it?
Perhaps, yes. Which is why I like some of the more practical suggestions that have been made in the last couple of years. One is the planetary health diet devised by Eat Forum and The Lancet. Here, you begin by covering half of your plate with vegetables and fruits, and then you add proteins such as grains and beans, and perhaps some starchy vegetables or dairy products to the other half. You can add a bit of meat, but not much over the course of a week. By following this diet, we can not only make ourselves healthier, but also do our bit for the planet too, because by cutting down on meat consumption, we can help reduce atmospheric CO2. What is also nice is that the basic diet can be adapted to different cuisines around the world.
Beth Willis, thank you very much. Food for thought for us all there. The time's coming up to 9:06.